On this episode of the Real Life Caddy Podcast, Zabo and myself are joined by Zabo's father-in-law, podcast superfan, and regular contributor, Jim Atwell. For many regular listeners, you remember that Jim recently died on the golf course while playing with Zabo. However, divine intervention ensued, and Jim was brought back to life, and we're over the moon to have him join us. Unfortunately for Jim, it was very hard for him to get a word in, as Zabo and I had loads of caddy stories, including a group from Oklahoma, where one guy, who does not remain nameless, committed high treason with a number of golfer faux pas. I then tell at length a tale of one of the most bizarre loops that I have ever encountered, a truly mind-blowing experience that leaves the boys wondering if I actually made the story up. We finished the episode with a couple of listener mailbag questions and our notable shoutouts. If you have any questions or comments, please send them in on social media or via email, podcast@glorifieddonkey.com. Thanks for listening, and please do us a huge favour and rate and review the podcast. Episode 101 of the Real Life Caddy Podcast. It's a belter. That's not the name of it. It's called Is That Your Name on the Bag? I'm here with Michael Zabo.
I am here. Good to be here.
And a special guest, actually.
It is. Very special guest. I'm very excited about this week. If you remember, well, I don't know what episode was it, but you remember Call 911, where my dear father-in-law almost died on the golf course. He's actually here in the flesh with us today. Jim Atwell, welcome.
Welcome,
Thank
Jim.
You. I'm here.
Lazarus.
Resurrected.
Yes.
That's resurrected. He really was. I mean, it was incredible. The fact that you were here on this podcast, it's amazing.
For all the heathens out there, that is a biblical reference. Lazarus came back from the dead.
He did.
Uh-huh. 2 weeks ago in church.
Yeah. Hey, listen, tell me, do you remember anything about that?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What?
What, Lazarus?
No.
About you, your... What was the first thing you remember? You remember waking up in the hospital, or?
I was, last thing I remember was hitting the 3-iron on 8, hopping in the cart, and the next thing I knew, guys were wrestling with me, and
I didn't know where.
Had a tube down his throat in the hospital, and he didn't like that. I think that's when he came to.
Local reports were that you remember your son-in-law, Mike Zabo, giving you mouth to mouth and you fighting him off. Is that true?
I don't remember.
I knew that would wake him up, you know. I was like, well, if anything's going to bring him back, he won't like this.
Uh-huh, yeah. So that's incredible. So you're playing golf with him. Then you go up the 8th hole, you hit a 3-iron, and then you just pass it.
Done. Well, I get in the cart, and that's the last I remember.
Wow.
Heart stopped.
Heart stopped.
For crazy.
Yeah.
20 minutes, 30 minutes?
It's like 15 minutes.
15 minutes.
15 minutes without a pulse. Crazy.
Wow. You could almost get a job caddying then. You know, you need to be able to have pulse for half an hour.
Very true. A lot of caddies go longer than that, but yeah.
But would you call yourself a podcast super fan, Jim?
Oh, I like listening to your podcast, yes.
Yes. Where are you from originally?
Kansas City.
Kansas City. Do you like the Chiefs?
I do. They're my favorite team.
And just so to put the picture for the listeners, he does look a little bit like Andy Reid.
He almost a dead ringer for Andy Reid. Yeah.
Is he the coach, the Chiefs, or is he over in Florida now? Andy Reid.
Oh, no, he's still coaching the Chiefs.
He's still there.
Yeah. Yes. I thought you meant, is Jim the coach of the Chiefs? He should be. I mean, yeah.
Who's the guy in Florida at Tampa Bay?
Bruce Arians, he's done. He's up in the booth.
Yeah.
He's coaching Tampa Bay now? I don't even know. Tom Brady, apparently, but he's not doing too well.
Okay. Well, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
Great to have you. Mike, you want to ask Jim some questions?
Well, as we do with most podcast guests, how many hole-in-ones do you have, Jim?
Just one.
Just one? Was it a par 3 course?
No, it was at the OGA course there in Tukwila, Woodburn, Oregon.
Oh, yeah, so not too long ago.
That's 2015.
Well, yeah.
How long have you been playing golf?
Oh, since I was 36, about 36 years.
25 years.
Wow.
Right. what do you think about Mike's hole-in-one at the Hay, the 42 yards or whatever it was?
48.
48, okay.
Well, a hole-in-one's a hole-in-one.
There you go, see?
Okay.
I got backup.
I sent Chris Rose, who's a fellow caddy with us, he sent me something from Peter Costas.
Oh, Chris, I saw this too. You're dead to me, Chris. I didn't know it was you that sent it to Gordon. I saw it before you did, probably.
It says, send to Zabo. The hay is not a real, with inverted commas, golf course. Therefore, any hole-in-one made on it is not recognized by the OWG Hole-in-One Committee. Conform to the rules and don't try to change them for your own benefit.
Well, that was Peter Costas' response to Alan Shipnuck, who got a hole-in-one in his, you know, he was doing something for the NCGA Youth on Course, playing 100 holes or 100 and whatever holes, and he had got a hole-in-one finally after playing like 90 holes or something.
But doesn't count. Sorry.
I think he's digging. Yeah.
The vast majority of people.
Each their own.
99% of people don't believe that the hole-in-one.
Oh, where did he come up with that number, 99%?
Just made it up.
Yeah. But good one.
I had two on the hay, the old hay. Didn't count them. Don't count them.
Yeah. But nobody saw him. He was by himself.
Have to be able to. if I can spit into the cup from, you know, that doesn't count.
No.
So, but, you know, he's got to back up the family.
That's each their own.
What we got, we called this one, Is That Your Name in the Bag? Because about a month ago, Zabo and myself were working for these lads from Oklahoma. So, Chad's 50th.
I mean, this was a job you put me on, and I figured Oklahoma, they're going to be a wild bunch, but man, first tee just to get it started. They come up, and Chad's a big dude to begin with, and he's all rowdy, and they have these big fat heads with Chad's face on them, and they got like eight of them, and I'm like, oh boy, here we go, and it was last. We're holding up. Gordon and I had fun with it. You know, Chad would hit a shot and we'd hold the fat heads over our face and just look at Chad. It was
Chad's great. 50. He looked like a Chad.
He did look like a Chad, yeah.
You know, but he's facing the ball.
He did have his face on the ball, yeah. He was that guy.
All right, so it was a guy called Jay, who I know, mm-hmm. and Jay actually booked me for this trip 2 years ago.
2 years ago?
Can you imagine that?
For this trip?
I got an email through it and it said September, blah, blah. And I text him saying, really? A year?
Yeah.
He goes, no, check the date. He doesn't 2022.
He doesn't know how Big G operates. I'm like, you book me weeks out. You don't book me months or years out.
You book me a day in advance, mate. That's how it works. Yeah. But anyway, because of the pure insurance, I missed the first loop.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So he was not happy at all. No. You know, I got radio
I told
silent.
You this 2 years ago, G.
2 years.
Yeah.
But there was a guy called Sean, who's a physio, or used to be a physio. And he's going to actually come on the podcast at some point to talk about stretching exercises.
Yeah. Physio being a physical therapist for all you Americans, yeah.
If all right, physio therapist. Then we got Chad's 50th, facing the ball, Jay, Sean, and then there was a guy called Derek.
Oh, you can't forget Derek Scott. I mean, his name was on his back.
His name was in his bag.
Yeah.
He tried to blame it on the member guest at Southern Hills.
Yeah, it was the member guest from 2013. Yeah. It was like 10 years ago. It's like, dude, come on, get over it.
We all got a bag with her name on it. When I first saw the bag, I thought to myself, oh, no, why they put the bag on it? I want to resell the bag. And that was the first thing I saw. And it didn't take long for us to just ream them for 2 days.
Can't have your name on your bag. Even when you're a pro, especially a carry bag. I mean, come on.
To throw it in there as well, he wore a visor.
He did wear a visor.
Which, I don't know, do you ever wear a visor? You're not a visor kind of guy.
Oh, look at his head. You don't wear a visor with that.
No visor.
Yeah, but there's something about, there's a certain breed that wears visors, wouldn't you say?
There is, and they're not a good breed.
A lot of visor wearers are very similar in character. I've noticed
they
this.
Are. Yeah, with a few exceptions. Like Fred Couples wears a visor. He can pull it off. He doesn't seem like a douche. He's not the type, though. He's not the type we're thinking of.
He's got plenty of hair.
He does have hair.
Did I ever tell you, don't ever leave Freddie with your wife, by the way?
Oh, yeah, that's well known.
Did I ever tell you the story about him and the photo?
Which
one? He's out doing a corporate event, and I've never told you this.
You might keep going. You might
this year. Yeah. So he's out doing a corporate event. He's not even swinging a club. Everyone thinks, oh, Freddie, oh, Boom Boom, such a great guy. Mm-hmm. Never meet your icons. Never meet your heroes, okay?
It's very true. A
couple
true.
Of the boys in my group, oh, there's Freddie. I thought he had something to do with the new bunkers getting built on the course.
Yes. Oh, I do remember this. Yeah, go on. Yeah, I remember.
And then one of them walks up to him and says, hey, listen, oh, you're my hero. Favorite golfer ever. Can I get a photo? And Fred Couples looks at me and says, make it quick. Which is not the response. He's got 5 minutes, okay?
You're my hero. Yeah, so of course I'll take a picture.
Take the photo. The other two guys in the group had left the golf buggy, the cart, at the side of the green. It should be behind the green. And that's where Freddie's going to be standing in 2 or 3 minutes. And you know what it's like when we see people, high-profile people all the time. We don't stare at them. It's just like, oh,
they're... Yeah, they're there. I mean, whatever. It's Tiger Woods. Person.
Big deal. Huh? Yeah. Seen him on TV. But the people are obsessed. So everyone's staring at him. And there's Freddie. He walks up to the tee, you know, because he's just watching people tee off. Probably getting $100,000 for this, right? For 2 hours' work.
Yeah.
And the other two players who had parked their cart at the side of the green start walking down towards the cart, which is the direction of him. He thinks they're walking down for photos with him. He turns, starts waving his arms, and going, no, no, no. And they were like, what a prick.
Yeah.
And then on the next tee, the guy who wanted the photo, who says, oh, you're my hero, my favourite golfer ever, he's like, what a dick.
Yeah.
And then that was...
Sometimes you get ruined.
I watched it right there. But he might be a visor wearer, but he falls into that category. Well,
apparently he does. I didn't know that about Boom Boom. Yeah.
How about this one? Derek Scott had a towel hanging from his back pocket.
Oh, remember that? Derek and I think Sean did too. And we started making fun of both. And we're like, come on, bro.
It's mostly Koreans that do that.
It's true.
You ever have a towel hanging from your pocket?
No.
Like when you have a caddy to clean the clubs,
yeah,
to watch the ball.
You don't need a towel hanging out of your back pocket.
They're paying us good money.
Yeah.
You know?
They are.
Which is fine. Listen, do as much of my job as you want. I don't care. You know? I'm not a caddy because I want to work hard. But he got roasted. And what's funny...
Rightly so, Derek. Rightly so.
But you know what's so funny about mob mentality? Is you plant the seed... And then the rest of them turn on them as well.
Yeah, we pile it on. That's it.
There's another group behind us. I say, hey, guys, look at this here. Oh, hey, come on. Look at this. I think I'm carrying for a pro today. Watch the way he hits the ball. He was the best golfer of the group, though.
He was. Yeah, a solid 5 handicap, maybe 10.
He took it well, though.
He did.
But the rule would be, don't have your name in the bag.
Ever.
Yeah. Because I said to him, because he was talking about going to Scotland for a game.
Oh, caddies are going to roast you out there, bro. They don't want to carry that bag with your name on it.
I said, take another bag.
Yeah.
Don't buy a new bag, but do
save
not take
yourself
that bag.
The embarrassment.
Save yourself the grief, because it'll last every course you go to for 10 days. What you got in caddy stories, Abel?
Caddy stories? I mean, I've done a lot of bench jobs lately. A lot of one. I've been wrong a lot, too. We always profile the people we caddy for, and...
Interesting you say that, because there's going to be a mailbag question about that.
Oh, 100%. I mean, it's just the nature of what we do. We peg what we get right off the bat. And the other day I had one and I was like, they gave me nothing, no energy. They were from areas that don't pay well. They were nationalities that don't
Kansas?
Pay well. No, I wouldn't
Canada.
Say Kansas.
Canada.
Really? Actually, hey. No, these weren't from Canada. These were... Regardless. So it was like, we were going through the, and I'm like, this is going to be off. They gave me nothing. No energy. They weren't excited. They didn't make any putts. They couldn't play. They weren't good. And I'm like, oh man, this is going to be, you know, on the very low end of what we ever get paid out here. And it was just absolutely shocking on the high side. I was like, you got to be kidding me. I was like,
really?
You know, sometimes, and this I know this has happened to you. It happens to all caddies. Yeah. We don't peg. We don't get it right. And then the next day, this was just yesterday. Or 2 days ago, I had a group and they were drinking, having fun, carrying heavy bags. I'm like, oh, this is going to be home run out of the park. And it was about as low as it gets. It was, you just never know what you get out there.
You do. I think we've got about a 90 to 95% hit rate.
We do. We're pretty accurate on this. Actually, I got another one. You're going to appreciate them. Jim, not so much. So Jim was coming into town. It was his wife's birthday yesterday. He was like, I want to get a gift card to a nice restaurant. So, Mike, could you get me the gift card? I'll reimburse you. It's like, oh, sure, Jim. No problem. I'll go get you a gift card. And Jim listens to every podcast. So he's heard you talk about this before. And I give him the gift card. And then Jim goes, what's your Venmo? I'm going to Venmo you the money. And I look at it and I'm like, ha ha, Jim, you're going to Venmo me. Ha ha. He's like, yeah, what's your Venmo? I'm like, Jim, you do listen to the podcast, right? You've heard Gordon talk. He's like, oh, what? You don't like? I'm like, no, Jim, we're caddies. We do cash. We don't do Venmo. Or I said, we're caddies. We don't do Venmo. So he sends me a Zelle instead.
Well, it was classic. Into your account.
It went to my account. It was money, but yeah.
You didn't have to wait 3 days on Venmo.
That's true.
Jim, tell us, you obviously listen. What are the best areas of the country for us for tips?
Oh, yeah. Do you know what our best areas are? Where we profile on the high side?
Texas.
That's a big one.
Southern California?
No.
Ooh.
No.
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 No. No. We see that LA Country Club logo or Brentwood or.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's the other ones? Hillcrest. Yeah.
Bel Air.
Oh, yeah. You got to be careful. Mm-hmm. No.
Anywhere else?
Oklahoma?
No.
Oklahoma's a good one. Yeah.
It's very close. New York. New York City.
Yeah. New York. Big one.
As soon as someone says, I work on Wall Street, we're like, okay. That'll do.
Finance. Yeah.
I mean, they're peeling stuff off that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's like dandruff for them.
Yep.
Oh, just. There you go. Lovely. We have some New Yorkers coming in at the beginning of next month. Zabo, I need to talk to you.
I love New Yorkers. New York.
New York. New
Derek
York.
Jeter. One day I love Derek Jeter.
So, Live Golf, Portland. That's when I actually...
Oh, yeah, you went up and saw Jim in Portland.
Myself and wee Chris from Whisper Rock, we stopped off at the Oregon Golf Association for a drink and something to eat. And I was going through the green book, and it reminded me of something happened the day before we saw you. I just wrote it down as Royal Oaks Driving Range Incident, okay? So that's where Andy Kuhn plays his golf. That's who we stayed with.
King Kuhn. Yeah.
King Kuhn. And... It's what's that? Where is it? Just north of Portland, in Washington State.
Vancouver.
So it's in Vancouver.
Okay.
Royal Oaks Country Club. Great place. We put everything on Andy's tab. We're like, can we pay for this? Oh no, there's no money here. Oh, we'll just put it on his tab. Yeah. Member 1, 2, 3, 4.
Yep. 54-30.
So it's a Sunday morning, and he goes, "Let's go. You want to hit some balls at the range?" So I go across the range, and you know me, I'm always talky. You know,
shocking.
Just,
yeah.
Always. I don't know. Just. It's my pal Mark was in town, and you realize that you comment to strangers just for a bit of fun. You know what I mean? We're just having a bit of a laugh.
Yeah.
Well, I'm at one end of the range with wee Chris, and there's this guy at the other end of the range. He's a member, but he's hitting the ball off the grass. Okay. And there's a sign that says, please hit off the mats. Now, I don't care, because that's the kind of thing I'll do. I'll hit it off the grass. I'm going to hit the drivers. It's not like I'm ripping the place to pieces, but just for a laugh. I shout across them.
Of course you do.
Hey, please, sir. You know, in a stupid voice, say, please, sir, can you please use the mat? And this guy turns. And
I'm a founding member at this club, son.
Super pissed off.
Was he?
Oh. I was like, I'm joking. I'm just joking, mate. And he's muttering under his breath. And Andy's looking at me like, oh, come on, Big G. Why?
Motherfucker owns, of course.
And it turns out he is. He's on the committee. And he gets two more balls and leaves.
Wow.
Oh, he was raging. Oh, I was going to practice all day. Yeah. You spoiled it for me.
It's darn Scottish.
But yeah, Royal Oaks Driving Range. I'm like, oh, come on. We're just having a bit of fun. Hey, sir, can you please use
There'll be
the
no fun at this Royal Oaks Driving Range.
Well, not. I had a loop. Boys, this will take a while. But this I've been waiting for this all my life.
All your life?
All my life.
It's the story of all caddies. Should we put this on episode 100? Or you want to do
this
now?
No.
It's too good to do now.
By the time this comes out, 100's already been done, Zabo.
Oh.
This is 101.
Oh, perfect. Sorry.
Jeez.
Go on.
You're giving away all of our secrets here. So I got a phone call from someone saying, listen, can you do a loop at Del Monte tomorrow afternoon? Mm-hmm. Right, Del Monte. When's the last time you carried Del Monte?
It's been years, but that's the dream job.
Jim's got his mouth open. He's like, what?
Yeah,
really?
Caddies at Del Monte. Yeah, yeah.
You drive her up to the ball there.
So we used to have...
It's the literal gravy train.
Yes. Well, 2003, 4, 5, I remember going out there with my brother. We used to have corporate events there.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be doubles off carts. You can drive to the ball.
Oh, God.
3.5 hours.
Yeah. Not even working.
And I remember once doing a loop and being back in bed by 10:15 in the morning.
Perfect.
We teed off so early. Mm-hmm. Brilliant. So he says, Del Monte. And I'm going, Del Monte, are you sure? Because there's probably 5 caddy loops a year at Del Monte.
Yeah, literally. I mean, it's crazy. There's hardly ever.
The first tee event, it used to go there as well. We used to caddy there, but now they don't bother. So I haven't been out there in months, and I haven't caddied there in probably 12 years. But he said, I'm thinking, hey, run around the course, actually could be done by 3:30. I wasn't going to work that day anyway, I thought, bonus. And he says, well, the very least, he said, I just spent 10 minutes with this clown on the phone. He says, this guy is material. Great material.
Good story, yeah.
So I was sold. He says he's going to tip you really fat, which, you know.
Is that what he said?
That's what he said. Oh, yeah, I'll make it.
That's another one, Jim. That's a red flag.
Red flag.
Oh, I'm going to take really good care of you.
Yes. Yeah. Someone says I'm taking really good care of you.
Never trust them.
Never trust them. Yeah. Never trust
them. They don't know what really good care of you
means. Because they, let's say they come from Haiti. Taking good care of you is very different to California taking care of. Okay. Yes. So, anyway. Great content. I'm in. Okay, so I drive down the course, and it starts from the very beginning. I have my bib over my shoulder and my towel over the other shoulder. I go to the podium, which is right across from the pro shop.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? The blinds are open in the pro shop, and I've turned up. I'm actually in time for once, because I was dropping stuff off at the dump, so I actually turned up half an hour before.
Wow, now, half an hour before? I know, what's wrong with you?
Dreadful. I got my timing wrong. I'm now at the podium. 10, 12 minutes before the tee off time, talking to this wee guy called Joe that I know, blah, blah, blah. And my phone rings, and it's the caddy office. So I answer the phone. She said, are you at the course? I went, I'm standing right here at the podium, basically next to the first tee. And she says, oh, well, Mr. Jones is requesting that you present yourself to the pro shop or to himself.
Uh-oh.
So I turn around and look at the pro shop, and there's this guy.
On the phone.
He's staring at me. And I'm going, I think he can see me. It's quite obvious I'm the only caddy at Del Monte this year.
Yeah.
Never mind that day. And
here's your sign, buddy.
So I walk 10 yards to the pro shop, and I pop my head in. I look at him. He's staring at me. I says,
hi, Mr. Jones.
Hi. And he goes, oh, you're the caddy. I thought so. So what he's done, he's got in the pro shop. He's staring out at the podium. He sees me. He gets the pro shop to call the caddy master to get the caddy master to call me to make sure that I'm there. And he could see me. So I'm thinking, this is strange. So now we go outside and he goes, oh, can you grab the bags? He's there with his wife. We'll call her Kathy.
Right? Are you doing a four caddy or double?
So I've been told it's a double.
Okay.
Okay. So I pick his bag up. He says, she's going to drive and you're going to be carrying this. And I pick it up and I says, well, I'm not carrying that. He goes, what do you mean? I says, it's too heavy. So he then proceeds to take 36 golf balls out of the bag. I says, well, that's a wee bit better. I said, you can take your waterproofs out too. It's a stand bag. Okay, Max Black.
Put him in that
cart
your wife's driving.
So he disappears to do some putting. I speak to Kathy. She's just a beginner, 6 months into the game. Seems quite nice. Does say that her family are Welsh. Red flag. And I say, Mr. Jones, is he a good player? And she says, oh, single digit. I went, okay. And I'm thinking, what's he here for? I don't understand why. I'm like, he maybe just has loads of money and whatever, wants a company. Because Kathy didn't have much of a personality, that's for sure. So I said, what tee is he going to be playing the blues? Oh, yeah, because I'm thinking he's a good player.
Yeah, play all the way back. It's a short course, yeah.
It's a short course. Oh, no, he turns up and he goes, I'm playing white tees. So he now wants all the information. Now, by the way, the first hole at Del Monte, there is nothing to know. It's a par five straight.
Yeah, just hit it in the fairway. You can see the hole in front of you. It's straight.
There's no water. There's no
bunkers. No bunkers off the tee.
There's a couple of trees.
Trees.
And he's grinding me. He says, rate yourself. How good are you reading putts?
Oh, my God.
I went, well, I think I'm pretty good, but, you know, you can decide on that, huh? So that, it's a very strange. Rate myself.
Rate myself. So on a scale of what?
He then proceeds to shank two drivers. Like, he's talking it up as if he's a player. And I'm going, and I'm looking at him, he's so far from the ball, and he's aiming so far right. And I'm thinking, this shanks twice into the trees. We get up to the ball and we're looking back. He says, how far do you think this is from the tee? I said, well, I'll tell you. It's 160. It's 160 to the hedgerow, and that's 20 yards behind our tee. So I'm guessing we're about 140 off the tee.
Wow.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
How far is that from the tee?
Now, his wife chopping the ball around, right? Just chopping the ball around. I'm trying to give her little tidbits, you know, because it's a double. I've been told it's a double. So
do you have two others in the group, or you're just...
No, like, just us.
Thank God.
So I'm walking with him, and he's got a cashmere pullover, which he takes off, and I goes, I'll put that in the cart. And he goes, no, I want to keep it. So he drapes it round his shoulders.
Oh, he's that guy.
Yeah. But he keeps on taking it off to hand it to me between clubs.
Oh, jeez.
So I'm now like water boy. And I'm just, this isn't even, we haven't even got to the green yet.
This is the first hole. Yeah.
What are these greens like? How fast are they? Well, I haven't been
here.
What
kind of grass is it?
I haven't been here in 3 years. I have no idea. They're small. They're really small. What kind of grass? It's green. You know, he's asking all these questions. Now, this is it gets even better because Tim O'Neill comes into this story. So I've carried for Tim in that senior tour event.
So this is after Tim O'Neill.
This is 3 weeks after.
Yeah. Two weeks after. This is recent, yeah.
So I'm now saying, I'm thinking to myself, this boy wants more information from me than Tim asked in 5-6 days. And I said, what are you here for? He says, oh, this is a practice round.
A practice round?
A practice round
For what?
An amateur event at Del Monte on the Friday. Now, he's already asked me if I'm free at 10 o'clock on the Friday morning.
Oh, jeez.
What do you think I said, Jim?
I think I've got something booked.
Well, I said... Well,
I got a root canal.
We'll have to see what happens. So the whole thing's bizarre. I'm now giving his wife information on the green. And he says, where do you think the flag will be? Where do I think the flag will be?
2 days from now in a tournament they don't have marked,
In an amateur event I've never heard of.
Yeah.
And you're asking me where I think the flag will be.
It'll be on the green.
Nice one, exactly. I may have said that, actually. His wife, I'm giving him her information, trying to give her wee tips. And she's just completely ignored me. Nothing, not even an okay, not a thank you, wow. Nothing, right?
How old are they? Are they like younger or older?
60s. Mid to late 60s, gotcha. Right? Unfortunately, walking down the ninth hole, I got a text from the girl that called me from the office saying, oh yeah, by the way, Mr. Jones only paid for a single. I thought, okay, Kathy, now you're really on your own.
Yeah.
I just wasted the eight and a half holes trying to give her information, just trying to get blood out of a stone.
Wow.
And now I'm only getting paid for a single. After he said he would pay for the double. And take care of me. So, you know, Kathy's
well
now
taken
on her own.
Care of.
Now we're walking down the 10th, and for some reason, he had some, it wasn't all bad. There was some decent chat, because we are chopping it up a little bit. And he asked if I'd worked in the Pure Insurance.
There you go. That's always a good feeling. Like, oh, did I? Yeah.
I says, actually, yeah, I did. And I'm still raging about some decisions and we should have done a lot better than we did. He says, who did you work for? I says, well, I worked for a pro called Tim O'Neill. He goes, Tim O'Neill? Oh, I know Tim.
No way.
He goes, you carried for my boy, Tim.
His boy.
My boy, Tim. Okay.
Really?
So I went, oh. And he goes, do you know his story? I went, well, his story? Well, what do you mean his story? Like, as in a golfer or his upbringing or what? He goes, well, both. I went, well, yeah. He told me a bit about everything. His parents taught him how to play golf and on a nine hole. And yeah, he's had a bit of a journeyman career.
Yeah.
He says, well, I used to live with him down in Savannah.
He used to live with him?
I went, what, live with him in the same house? He went, no, well, we lived close by. I went, oh, okay.
And it's a little different.
We used to play golf all the time. Oh, what a great guy. What a great guy. He said, I got a hole in one once when Tim was in the group. It's a 17th hole over water. He'll know all about it because that's where he missed out in his PGA Tour car because he bogeyed the hole. I went, oh, good talk. Really good talk there.
Yeah.
And I went, that's great. So we have a wee chat about that for, 10, 11.
Mm-hmm.
And we get on to the 12th. That's a par 3. We get to 14. And we're kind of just chopping it up again in 13. He's hitting, this was a par 5. Get to his third shot, 57 yards out. So I put the bag down and I walk to the side and I kind of stand over the ball like you do, like caddies do. Pretend I'm swinging.
Yeah.
It's killing time.
Yeah.
We've caught up with the group in front of us now.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just killing time. A wee bit like pro caddies, they'll, on the green when they're doing nothing, they write in their book. They pretend they're writing in their book.
Yeah, and they do nothing, yeah.
It's just to make them look busy.
Look like you're working. Yeah.
So I'm over the ball, went 57. I look at him. So I'm standing over the ball. The bag is to the right-hand side. Mr. Jones is beyond that, facing me. And his wife, Kathy, boring Kathy, is in a cart on the cart path, 15 yards away.
Okay.
Was that 40 feet? So I'm looking at him going, it's like 57. Probably play a wee 60-yard shot here. Oh, by the way, he's got a decent short game. Right, he never.
So, yeah, at this point, how's he playing? Is he
horrible?
He's
a bogey golfer.
He's a bogey golfer. Gotcha.
Maybe, probably not. Actually, worse.
He's got an
edge, one iron in the bag.
Yeah, one of those tour edges.
Yeah, from the 60s or the 70s, right?
Of
and
he does.
I says, "What you got this in the bag for?"
He says, "I hit it 210."
You know, he goes, "It's my comfort club."
Oh, jeez.
Your comfort club. Who has a one iron? It's a comfort club. And maybe think your putter or your sand wedge or your seven iron,
yeah.
But your one iron, I'm thinking, like, join this century.
You're not comfortable with that.
But he did a decent short game, right? You could put a lot of spin in the ball. So I say, 57, I think you probably want to hit a little 60. So he's ignored me and he looks at me and he goes, what's your name?
What?
And I look over my shoulders like he's, I went, what's my name? Gordon. Everyone calls me a big G. You know, I didn't have my bib on actually. Some of the a couple of the boys, caddies, were over in the bar at the Hyatt, and they're texting me going, where's your bib?
Good, yeah.
You ever notice that, Jim? A lot of people, I don't always wear the bib. Steve Williams didn't always wear the bib.
Yeah. So
other caddies hate that. They hate it.
Big G's on par with Steve Williams is what he's saying.
I call it.
I have actually noticed that a couple of times, and I've never said anything to you, but I think Well, yeah. No, I haven't said anything.
You said it years ago. I remember it distinctly. I walked out on the bench.
What is up with that? You're above the bib?
No, it's like I call it yellow jersey syndrome. You know, so the yellow jersey, the guy who's leading or win the Tour de France,
yes.
And they're all chasing him and they don't like him because he's the best or the winner. And so what I do, I sometimes don't put the bib on until I'm on the actual tee or walking down the first or at that date, Del Monte. I just didn't bother wearing it. I don't like it. It hangs down and I've got didn't need it. But okay. Some guys
continue
have a problem.
The story. So
anyway,
boys are texting you.
Boys are texting me. I'm trying to reply. 57, hit at 60. And he says, what's your name? I says, Gordon, Big G. He then turns his back on me and he goes, hey, Kathy, to his wife, can you please tell Gordon to hold the bag up straight so it's much easier for me to take the clubs out?
What?
He was doing it okay in the first few holes, but I think he's forgotten his duties.
What?
Now I start laughing. I says, well, you know what, Mr. Jones, you want to get your name in the bag and a staff bag and we might start holding up. Couldn't believe it. And I think
he had a stand bag?
He had a stand bag. So yeah. He wants me to stand on the side of the bag, the ball, pull the bag up off its stands.
Bro.
So it's upright, so he can pull the club out.
I might judo chop with my leg and kick the bag over at that point.
Now,
come on.
I have a huge tolerance for
he really
nonsense.
Did that.
He actually did that.
Well, that's crazy.
You can't make it up. That's why I have the green book, Zabo.
That's ridiculous. Seriously? Yes, Jonesy? Jonesy. Wow. So what happened?
Well, I'm just laughing at him.
Yeah.
So he wants a putting competition against me. He says, you putt that one. Okay. 10-footer. Oh, okay. You do know what you're doing. Just a lucky putt, by the way.
You made it, yeah.
I made the putt. We get 14. Now he doesn't really want to play. He just wants to drive around. Okay. Because he's got to conserve his energy for the Friday, for this big amateur tournament.
This is just a practice round, yeah.
So
wait a second. But let's backtrack. So
yeah.
He said to Kathy, tell Gordon.
Yeah.
That he needs to do it.
Hold the bag upright so it's easier for him to take the clubs out.
So he told Kathy to tell you that, and he didn't know your name at that point.
He was asking my name after 13 holes.
And then he told Kathy to tell you that, and you were standing right next to him.
I was standing right next to him.
That is
crazy. That was brilliant. Well, all I'm thinking.
That's all time douche
right there. No, but I've got the green book. I don't care. Yeah. I'm thinking, content.
That's classic,
bro. Can't wait to tell this story.
Yeah.
We get to 14 green, and he wants to throw a couple of balls down. And he says, do you think I'm a better putter than Tim? No, I think he's being sarcastic.
Yeah.
I went, oh, you're both very good. You know, you're both very, very good.
It is coming tip time. You got to stroke his ego.
No, but I think because he's a pro and he does it for a living, I'm going to say that he's better than you. And he looks and goes, really? I went, uh-huh. He went, you really think that Tim O'Neill is a better putter than me?
Yep, I do.
I said, yes. And he walks off, starts shaking his head. He goes, I don't even want to hit a drive in this hole, 15. So, no, we'll just drive in the middle of the fairway. I'm thinking, great, perfect. Jump in the back of the cart. Kathy drives, hits every bump in the way. I'm like, you have a cart path to the left, all the way to the ball.
They're trying to middle back of the you fairway, off, bro.
And you're driving over every gopher hole that you can find. So we get out to the middle of the fairway.
There's a lot on that course.
There's a lot, exactly. Yes. And he says to me, right, I'm going to drop it here. How far? Hits a ball. We get in the green. And he's looking at me, shaking his head. Now, that's a really severe green, 15.
It is, yeah.
Back to front rail. He goes, really, you really think that Tim O'Neill is a better putt than me? He says, find me the hardest putt on this green.
Bro, that green?
I went, okay. He goes, I bet you'll get it within 3 feet. I says, I bet you'll get it within 10.
Wait a second. He said, he bet you'll get it with...
He's hitting putts. So I pick a hole, I put a tee in the ground, or the rangefinder at the front, very front of the green.
To back left or back, way back right.
Way back left.
Yeah, way back left. That's impossible.
He says, I'll prove you wrong. I went, okay, how close will I get it? I says, 10 feet.
At best.
And he says, I'll get it within 3 feet. I says, well, how many balls do you want? He has 4 balls. He has 4 goes at it and eventually gets it to about 4 feet.
Wow.
And he points at me and says, told you. I went, told me what? told me what?
Proved you wrong.
Absurd. So at this point, I text him. It says, do you know Mr. Jones from Savannah?
Oh, God, yeah.
He used to live in your neighborhood.
Yeah.
he sends a text back with those kind of big eyes, you know, that
imagery like, going, wow, that guy.
Never heard of him. So I'm just going, this gets better and better. Can't wait. I said, I'll call you after the round and tell you all about it.
Was he kidding or he knows him and he said never heard of him?
No, he literally does not know who he is.
Oh, he doesn't. Okay.
No clue who he is. So 16, 17, 18, relatively uneventful. And we get done and he reiterates, he throws me some money, but it was the old kind of in the hand.
Yeah. The crumpled up, like, oh, yeah. I'm taking really good care of you, bro. Yeah.
And he didn't.
So okay. It was FYI, just like we thought, yeah.
Did not take care of me. And he reiterates, what are you doing? It's 10 o'clock on Friday morning. I says, well, I got to check with my wife. She's,
of course.
Going through a really bad illness right now. I'm trying to think of anything, you know what I mean? Just, I'll call you. He asked me to write down my phone number. He's got his phone in his hand, by the way. I says, well, you want to text me? He goes, write it down in the scorecard. Like, this is absurd.
Yeah.
What's your email address? I says, why do you need my email address? Just text me. I don't like to text. I'll email you. It's just, you know what I mean? It's like, I don't know, peeing into the wind.
Yeah.
And we get finished there. He says, can you call me the shuttle? I'm going, me? Call you the shuttle? No. I will not.
It's not my job description, bro.
Number one, where are you going? Oh, we're going to the Hyatt. I'm thinking, we'll just walk.
It's wow. Like,
you just came from there. It's 400 yards.
Yeah.
So he's expecting me to call. I says, no, go into the pro shop. Maybe call the caddy master. They'll make call the shuttle for you. And then he says, oh, aye. Can you just grab the bags and take them out front? I went, with pleasure. Unbelievable.
Ridiculous.
Jump in the car, phone Tim O'Neill, tell him the whole story. Laughing his ass off, 20 minutes. He's like, never heard of that fool.
Never heard of him ever.
And he said, it's amazing how many people go, oh, my boy Tim.
Yeah.
My boy, boy Tim.
Yeah.
My boy Tim. Absolutely brilliant. But yeah. You think Tim O'Neill's a better putter than I am? Shocked, truly. I actually thought he was being sarcastic.
So how did the Friday go? You didn't caddy for him? How did he do in the tournament? Did he break 95? Did he check up the tournament stats?
Yeah, completely forgot. Just I was so busy, taking notes. But he wow. It was 3 hours 40 minutes. You know, I honestly didn't care what he was going to pay. I wanted it to keep on going.
Yeah, that's just primary. After the, hey, Kathy, tell Gordon to put the bag upright. That's
can
impressive.
You believe that? Turned
at
his back
that point,
me.
At that point, dude, I don't know what I would have done. I would have laughed too, but I might have walked off at that point. Said, you know what? Don't pay me anything. You don't talk to your wife to talk to me like that.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Oh, she was eating a Snickers bar. She didn't even hear him. Unbelievable. Wow. Anything else for the caddy stories?
No new caddy stories. I got one.
Oh, you do?
Jim's got one.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
Let's knock it out of the park, Jim. Yeah.
Well, you know, Marianne was first came to Pebble working. I'd get to come out and play golf with her quite a bit.
Yeah, the employee, fringe benefits of having a daughter as an employee, you get to play free round.
So I was playing with Marianne, and Gene was riding along with me, and Marianne casually said that there's going to be a friend of mine that's going to stop by and say hi. I said, oh, okay. Who is this friend? Oh, this guy I met. I said, okay. So anyway, we get out the fifth hole. Mike shows up.
I just finished my loop, yeah.
And
we had just started dating, Marianne and I.
Okay. So, you know, we're driving to the ball, and I look back, and they're making out in the middle of the fairway.
I don't know about making out. There might have been, a smooch here, a smooch there. It was in the beginning stages of our relationship. We were very infatuated.
I told Gina, should I yell at him, get a room?
And how long ago was that? 10 years?
Oh, no, eight and a half years.
Yeah.
Ago.
And just think, 8 years later, he was smooching you in the golf course.
That's right.
Full circle. Full circle.
That's brilliant.
Yeah.
I heard this after the fact, but he looked at Gene, my mother-in-law, and said, they're going to kiss after every shot.
Well, all those holes in one.
Yeah.
Okay.
Brilliant. Right, we're going to move on after this. Caddy stories are over. That was a long caddy stories, but that's my fault. Four! Jim just showed me a picture of his golf cart.
Yeah.
It's a nice golf cart.
Yeah. What'd you pay for that?
I don't know.
Ooh, that's a personal question.
13, 14.
Wow, those things have gone up in price, huh?
Yep. Ain't cheap.
That is. I know boys that were buying them at $2,000 and $3,000 5-6 years ago. They've
not,
just gone
not brand new ones at 2-3 grand.
Well, maybe 6 or 7 brand new. Is it what's special about it that, you know, or custom about it that you got?
Nothing really. I mean, they have a different seat on them.
Okay.
And I had the...
Is that to make it more comfortable because of your piles?
Yeah.
You have the ring in the middle. Yeah.
it goes faster, too. It's pretty fast, right?
It's pretty fast. I didn't get the lithium batteries, but, aye, you know, if I wanted to wait a couple of years to see how the lithium do, and he said I could always convert it over. They could do it. So I got a rain cover over the bags in the back. That's about...
Uh-huh. And you put a sweet little Kansas City Chiefs logo on the front.
I did.
Yeah.
Nice. And you live in a golf course?
Well, a block away.
Block away. Do you just drive straight out of your garage, straight to the course?
Yes.
Play golf?
Yep. Drive home.
Couple of beers?
No beer.
No beer anymore?
Used to. Yeah.
Used to.
Oh, we never asked you to. You ever wear white pants, Jim?
Never.
No, I was going to say, you don't really, no offense, but have the physique to wear white pants.
Yeah.
Nobody really does, but.
He's a proper man, though.
He is, yeah. No white pants. Smart man.
Just have to look at Jim and just know that he may have shot himself, right?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, we haven't asked that one yet either, but definitely no white pants.
You just know he wouldn't wear a visor, wouldn't wear white pants.
Correct.
You can just tell.
You know right off the bat looking at him, yeah.
Yeah, we're like FBI profilers. I got a question here that pertains to something Zabo said. It's from a Robbie Hunt in a place called Bismarck, North Dakota.
Hey.
What are caddies looking at in a player when you first meet them?
What are we looking at? Yeah. Well, we're looking at how you're dressed. We're looking at, yesterday I had some friends from north of the border, and right off the bat, you know, you could just hear the way they talk, like a little bit like this, and inflections here and there. And then I was like, hey, what part of Canada are you guys from? And they're like, oh, you can tell that, huh? You can tell it. You didn't see anything on our bags. It's like, no, I had a pretty good venture. You're from Canada. So yeah, we look for how you talk, how you dress, how you walk, how you carry yourself. We look for all that. We're expert profilers, I would say. And we, you know, it's just the nature of what we do. We profile people. There's a reason the FBI hire profilers when they're looking for, you know, killers, criminals, murderers. And it's a little different in our line of work, but we profile people.
I don't know about that. I don't think it is that different, because
it's not that different, but it's a different type of profiling. We're profiling their profession. We're profiling what we think we're going to get compensated for.
After some of our conversations about colleagues, we could work for the FBI, helping them out with the profiling.
100%. Oh, yeah. We criminally profile our colleagues all the time, yeah.
I think when I go at the first tee, if I don't know the people, I'm looking for drinkers. I once had a loop for a guy called Jimbo, and I went down to the podium, and I saw this guy walking up. It was 10 o'clock in the morning. He's coming up from the putting green. I'd rolled a few putts, and he was double-fisting drink beers.
That's my guy.
And I said to the other caddy, I said, I don't care what time he's teeing off, I'm working for him today. And sure enough, we still talk to this day. That was about 6 or 7 years ago. He was a maniac. An absolute maniac.
Like to have fun.
Oh, yeah. It was brilliant. What a great loop. And I think there was another guy that the other podcast that did, Jojo Anderson. He was 2 minutes before his tee off time and obsessed about, where do I get a beer? Where can I get a beer? I says, well, you can go up there. Not interested in the golf.
Yeah, who cares about...
Had to get six, you know, whatever he's drinking.
Absolutely.
So you can always tell the people that are going to be hard work as well. They're stressing over how the bag's put in the golf cart or what's going in the golf bag if we're carrying it.
Yeah, if you're changing it out, I need this and that and that. It's like, no, you don't. Just
super anxious.
Yeah.
You'll always look for the one guy who's going to be the control freak. He wants the scorecard.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to know everyone's... What's your index?
What's your index? What's your index? I don't care what your handicap is. Give me your index from these tees. Yeah.
Yeah. It's incredible how we do it. And then if I see women hanging around the tee, I might just go back to the car barn.
You're not a fan. I know you're not.
Well, here's the trouble sometimes. If there's two guys in a group and two women in a group, I would just wish for once, and they know each other, right? So you're always going to get tipped the same money, let's be honest.
Yeah. They coordinate.
Let's have the men together and the women together.
I know,
so
that
at least,
drives me nuts sometimes.
One thing I can't stand is, I'm going to play the blues, I'm going to play the whites. Yeah. So now I've got double the work. Now I got, okay, right. Jim's looking at me as if I wanted a proper job. But, you know, every hole, I now have to give a different set of information. Par 3s, oh, it's 110 for you, it's going to be 95 for you. It's just more work than you need.
Yeah, it's painful sometimes. It's like the husband and wife, they want to be in the same car, they want to share the same caddy, but when you get two sets of husband and wife, and so the ladies are both playing the red tees and the men are both playing one tees, just pair the ladies up so they're together with the caddy, you know?
A guy asked me about 3 weeks ago, he said, does your wife play? And I looked at him and said, I don't know. He went, what do you mean you don't know? How long have you been married? I went, a long time. He said, you don't know? I said, I've never asked her. Like, why? I don't know. I don't know why you'd want to go and play golf with your wife.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you spend all your time with your wife.
Depends. I like playing golf with my wife.
Oh, you
my
have to say play. That because you're sitting next to Jim.
No, it's true. I do like playing. My wife's a good player. My wife's a good player.
She's
good.
Any hole in ones at the Hay?
Funny enough, you should say that. She doesn't she have did. One at the Hay.
Doesn't count.
It does count. Marianne, it counts. Yeah. Congratulations on your hole in one.
Doesn't count, pal.
We count it, Mayor.
But this is a world that everyone gets a prize. There's no winners or losers. We're all the same, apparently. But, I had these two ladies last week. Lovely, lovely women. However, not proactive. I'm back and forth to the cart. I'm like a sprinter, you know what I mean? I must have run a bit. It's a cart job. And I ran 14 miles.
Wow.
You know, cause
you ran? I find that hard to believe.
I did. No, jogging.
Yeah.
But, you know, you're 170 out. Oh, I'll have my 3-wood. And then they chunk it 30 yards. It's not far enough that they got to hit the 3-wood again, is it?
This is a whole new subject. That drives me nuts more than anything.
Nancy, could you not just duff it a bit worse?
I need my 80-yard club. That's my 7 hybrid. Well, you just hit your 3-wood 40 yards, and you hit it pretty good.
This lady had, they both actually had their numbers for the irons in a laminated thing stuck to the bag. And I said, it's 110. What's your 110? And she says, look at the list. So I'm back and going, okay. 110's a 6-iron. Okay, let's go with the 6-iron. Okay, brilliant. And then, but then arguing with me. Yeah. No. Oh, yeah, one of them said, 80 yards was supposed to be our pitching wedge. She goes, no, I hit that 90. I says, well, you maybe want to update your notes then.
Yeah. Your laminated card tells me you hit that 72.
You just told me to look at the laminated card. I've looked at it. I've told you what it says. And now you're telling me that it's wrong. Make up your mind. Behave yourself. Brings me to the bail end of the month.
Ooh, of the month?
Of the month. We haven't had a bail end for a long time. There could have been several, but we just, the podcast.
We're not going to give it to Mr. Jones for his comment to Kathy about tell Gordon that he needs to put the bag in the proper position.
No, I'll be honest with you. I love Mr. Jones because it gave me a 10-minute story. I really enjoyed the whole... When pieces of gold let that happen...
It's just a gem.
It's just content. That's why, I don't really get offended anyway. I couldn't care less, but it was wonderful. Mr. Jones, he probably gets an Emmy for that, right?
Maybe he was just trying to give you... That almost sounds too good to be true. Like he was trying to give you a story, like to tell his wife to tell you to do something. I've never heard of that.
No,
it's weird.
It was. I was telling Jim in the break, there was a real arrogance about him where he really saw you as the help.
Yeah.
And
been there.
And he just, as I say, probably at best a 16 handicapper, just poor. But that wasn't the bell end of the week. Adam Green.
Adam Green? Listener Adam Green?
Fellow caddy.
Oh, no, he loves the podcast. We're giving him the bell end of the month award.
He knows why. He knows exactly why. Okay, let's hear it. The month. Well,
he loves the podcast.
I'm working with him, two jobs. And exactly, he listens.
Oh, he does.
So he's one ahead of me or two ahead of me in seniority, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And the way it usually works is if you have something off the bench, the guy with most seniority can choose which job, okay?
Absolutely. That's how it goes.
Well, I've been doing it a lot longer than he has, okay? I've been carrying for as long as he's probably been in the planet.
So you pulled rank even though he has more
seniority? No, I didn't pull rank. I said, listen, do you want the front or the back? We knew there was one lady in the group.
So they're both cart jobs.
They were both cart jobs.
Okay.
But I knew that there was at least one lady in the group. Turns out there's two.
Yeah.
And I said, do you want the front or the back? And he goes, I'll take the guys. I went, really? You're going to do that to me? Are you serious? You want to do that? And he went, uh-huh. So he took the guys and I get stuck with the women.
Oh, of course he did.
These two guys are playing off a 5 and a 6. And they're just, like, they're 200 yards ahead of us. And I'm still running back and forth the cart.
Good on you.
Make sure and consult the cart.
Smart dude.
I say,
this was the card ladies?
Yes.
No.
How far are we? We're 270 yards. Your card says that you hit a 3-wood 130.
Let's hit that.
I think we're going to hit the three wood.
A couple of times.
I started teeing it up in the fairway and so they could hit drivers. It was torture. So Adam Green, you are the bell end of the month.
Good on you, Adam. Smart man.
We have another question here from your boy McCoppin. Chris McCoppin
Chris.
From Dallas, Texas. He says, where is the proper place to put a rake in a bunker, next to a bunker, inside, flatten the trap, part in, part out, or to the side?
What do you think, Jim? Where would put your rake in the bunker?
Outside the bunker.
Totally outside?
Totally.
I think the proper way, and we don't do this a lot at the resort, but the proper way is to put the handle should be sticking out of the bunker and the head inside the bunker, half mm-hmm. in, half out. That's the way I always thought should be that way. The rake never stops the ball from going in the bunker. I don't think a rake should ever prevent a ball from going in the bunker. I mean, I like it when they do for the players that I'm caddying for, then I don't have to rake the bunker, but I think the head of the rake should be in the bunker and the handle should be sticking out.
Okay.
And I think it looks better that way too.
Mm-hmm. I saw these lovely rakes at King's Barns. And
the big wood ones?
No, the big wood ones with the small teeth, they were always the best.
Yeah, for sure.
But it was, how do you describe it? A bunch of metal, like a cylinder. Can you imagine you're rolling the sand.
Oh, really? Yeah.
And it goes really good. I don't know. I'll post some stuff on the Twitter because I took a video of it.
Nice.
Where would I put the rake? Half in, half out.
Yeah.
And probably to the flattest part, like where you're most likely to walk into the bunker.
Yeah, for sure.
As opposed to, like, we'll often see there's five rakes around one bunker and all four of them are next to each other.
Yeah, I know. That drives me nuts.
And some of the raking I've seen this past four or five days.
I took a picture one last week. It's like, dude, at that point, don't even bother trying to rake the bunker. If you're going to do a job like that, it's better off not even trying. I mean, I'll show you a picture. This is awful.
Well, we need to do that idea where I say Bad Rake Tuesday on Twitter, where we rate the video of the rake job.
I got a doozy for you.
It's absolutely shocking. But I think the best I've ever seen was myself and Matty D years ago were playing at some course, some muni in Pasadena down in Southern California.
Mm-hmm.
And we're looking for the rakes. And then we realize that behind the rake, there's this plastic kind of insert that you open the door and you pushed your foot and the rake popped up.
Dang.
It was like a spring system. So there was no rake. There was no issue with the ball going into the bunker and getting caught with the rake or not going into the bunker and being caught by the rake. It was a spring system.
That's fancy.
Probably a Scotsman invented that, I'm sure.
Oh, I'm sure. It's got to be. Yeah.
Invented most things. So many thanks for your questions, folks. We have more, but we have to move on. If you have any questions, podcast@glorifieddonkey.com or via social media. That would be the Twitter, the Instagram, the Facebook, etc. @glorifieddonkey. Boys, anything else to add today? Have some shout-outs?
Yeah, some shout-outs.
Jim, who do you want to say hello to?
You're talking about drinking beer on a course.
Yeah.
Where I lived in Kansas, my buddy and I, we'd fill up our cooler on, you know, for the round. And by the time we took our first swing, we'd already popped one.
Uh-huh.
If we ran out, he lived on number 10. Oh, so we'd reload, but old John took care of me.
Yeah. Is that John from Kansas that has John been in contact?
Cotter. John Cotter, yeah.
Okay.
Is that the guy who's been emailing? Is Cotter been listening to the podcast?
Oh, I don't know. I don't think.
Somebody you talked to up
there. Some John has been emailing questions into the podcast.
Yeah. And he knows you. What do you drink when you drink the course? Or when you're allowed? When no one's watching?
Well, I quit here.
Oh, okay.
4 months ago.
Okay. Because of the heart?
Yeah.
Okay. But what was your drink of choice?
What was your drink of choice?
Michelob Ultra.
Oh, that's not really beer, though, is it?
Well, it's okay.
Kind of water.
Coors.
Listen, if I was drinking Michelob Light, I'd have probably given it up months ago as well. who do you want to say hello to, Jim?
All my buddies there at OGA in Lake Quivira.
Mm.
Got to shout out your lovely wife, too. She just had a birthday. Oh, yeah, she listens to every podcast, Jim.
That's right. She's a dedicated listener.
She is.
Dedicated listener. Big shout
out to Jean. Yeah. Just had a birthday yesterday.
Yep. Oh, very nice.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Zabo, who you got?
I got a shot. I caddied for a guy the other day. Real nice guy. Did actually random single, but Jim Newell, got a shot at him out. I'm sure he's going to listen to the podcast. He's actually a congressional reporter for Slate Magazine. Super nice guy, good player, good caddying for him. Got to also shout out my best friend growing up. I did not realize he was even listening to the podcast. Chris Levine, listener to the podcast, loves the caddy stories. He actually, this is a pretty good one. Back, I went to, while I was in college, I lived with him off campus, right on the ocean down in Narragansett, Rhode Island. Actually, I probably shouldn't say the town from this incident, but anyways, so I was a golfer back then. We had my clubs down at our place, and I would right across the street from the ocean. So I would tee up drivers, hit balls into the ocean, and eventually that wasn't very fun. So I was like, you know what? Right behind our house was a parking lot for a local bar, and over that parking lot was a housing development. So instead of hitting the balls into the ocean, I teed them up the other way and started hitting them over the parking lot. Well, apparently I broke a window over there, and the police showed up at our door. And
the who?
The police.
Oh, the police.
Isn't that what you say in Scotland? So anyways.
No, we call them the Rogers or the pigs.
There you go. So anyways. So the police show up at the door, and I could have never pulled this off. I'm in there, and Levine, my good buddy, goes to the door, opens it, goes, yes, officers. He's a little drunk at the time. And they're like, yeah, we got a report somebody was hitting some golf balls over there. A window was broken over there. And Levine looks at him real straight. He goes, I don't know what you're talking about, sir. I said, we don't golf in this house, but there's a guy on the golf team. He lives right next door to us. You might want to check in with him. And I'm just sitting there like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. And he was right. The guy on the golf team lived next door to us. Oh, so never got in trouble for that. So big shout out to Levine. Thanks for listening. Also, if you're he's in need of a kidney right now. So if you're needs a kidney. If you're a type O blood type and you have an extra kidney and you're willing to donate, hit us up at the Real Life Caddy Podcast. I will get you out on some pretty sweet courses. You're not supposed to, you know, compensate somebody for that, but I'll get you out at the nicest place if you're willing to give up a kidney. Seriously.
There you go. Interesting. Statute of limitations, I'm sure you won't get in trouble for that.
This was like just before nine. This was over 20 years ago, but man, it was pretty impressive. He, very straight face. Yeah, I don't know what you're talking about, sir. We don't, there's no golfers in this house, but the guy next door.
I'll tell you, that reminds me of a story about exactly the same time my parents went on holiday. And they left me the house. Big mistake.
And you know your son?
I know.
Borsons?
They were just desperate to get away from me. Desperate to go on holiday.
Yeah, can't blame them.
And the first night they're away, of course, I have the boys round. And we're all, you know, getting ripped into it. And about 2:30 in the morning, I don't know who had the idea. Let's go and hit some golf balls. So I says, well, let's go and hit them in the field. And there's a bunch of houses being built. It was all so we're up on top of a hill, just hitting
pelting
balls,
the houses, pelt, yeah.
Listen, and going middle of the night. So you go, wait for it.
That's the sound you're looking for.
Wait, I know it's shocking. It's not embarrassing, but if someone ever did something to my house for type thing, I'd be like, ah, okay, fair play, because I used to do this.
Yeah, so that's true.
You can hear the tiles on the roof going and the odd window, and we're just loving it. Okay, brilliant. Back home, fall asleep. 2 days later, I'm driving, and all of a sudden, I start seeing cars coming out. They weren't all in construction. They were actually people living there.
Wow.
I did not realize that.
Oh, no.
My apologies to anyone in Maybole that lives that side of the road up the top of the town. When you've got to say hello, so say a shout out to Dave Jones. 50 and 50. He's trying to get all those 50 states. He needs Georgia, and he wants the
big
one.
He's down to the last one for sure. We got that confirmed.
By the time this comes out, he will be.
All right, we're gonna work on that for you.
We're trying to work on it, Dave.
Yeah.
Also,
I got to shout out Zilkowski. He's coming out in a few months. He donated to my daughter's readathon. Thank you, Brian.
Nice. Oh, you never told the story about you juggling.
Oh, juggling club. No, we'll talk about that next podcast. This is just too much.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's hilarious.
I want to shout out a guy called Ryan McMahon. He used to play running back. Or was it running back defensive? Like something. He used to play for USC. Was in the roster of the Green Bay Packers. I caddied for him the other day.
Really?
Really
you
nice.
You caddied for somebody from USC and they were nice? Another red flag. Wow.
He only went there. He wasn't from LA. He's from...
Gotcha. Down, you know, okay.
Not by far, but one of the good parts.
Yeah.
And
another red flag, Jim, if you see somebody with a USC head cover, run away.
Oh, yeah. It's like the Stanford one.
Stanford's hit and miss.
I can't stand seeing people who are in their 70s walking around with a hat from the 70s with the S on it.
Yeah.
Just to tell you that they're better than you.
USC's worse.
Can't stand it. No, not interested. Anyway, Jim, thank you for your time.
Thank you, Jim.
Have a safe journey back up to Oregon.
Will do.
Hope to see you soon. Zabo, thank you for your time.
Thank
as
you.
Always, we will be back in a couple of weeks. Any questions or comments, please send them in. podcast@glorifieddonkey.com. Share with a friend and listen to the back catalogue, of course. Thank you for your time. Until the next time, enjoy your golf, but more importantly, keep it humble.